Well, greetings, everyone. This is Christopher McClellan, the presenter for Healing Ties 2.0 on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. And as you know, we are featuring some new shows during this time slot. And today, I am thrilled to introduce you to my good friend, Elizabeth Miller. Elizabeth is a national speaker, workshop leader, and a global advocate for family caregivers. Through her consulting services and free resources, Elizabeth helps family caregivers integrate caregiving with their busy lives. Elizabeth's personal experience caring for her aging parents with chronic and terminal illness, as well as caring for a sibling with developmental disabilities while working full-time and raising a family, inspired her to create Happy Healthy Caregiver. I know you're going to enjoy Elizabeth Miller.
Caring for aging parents or other loved ones while working, raising children, and trying to live your own life? Wondering how to find the time for your personal health and happiness? Well, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Happy Healthy Caregiver Podcast, the show where real family caregivers share how to be happy and healthy while caring for others. Now, here's your host, family caregiver and certified caregiving consultant, Elizabeth Miller.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Happy Healthy Caregiver Podcast on the Whole Care Network. If this is your first time listening, welcome. We are a podcast produced bi-weekly to help family caregivers integrate self-care and caregiving into their lives. As always, you'll find that each of our podcast episodes has an accompanying show notes page. So if you are listening where you're not able to write stuff down, don't worry about it. You will find the show notes, the links, and the things that we spoke about today by going to the happyhealthycaregiver.com website. Go to the podcast menu and then just click the image for today's show. Before we dive into the show today, I want to first take this time and opportunity to thank our sponsor, Life in Motion Guide.
In an emergency, could you find your parents' important financial, legal, medical, or property information quickly? I know as a family caregiver, I couldn't. I had to scramble to find things when my mom got sick. This is Karen from lifeinmotionguide.com. I created Life in Motion to help you get your parents' affairs in order. It's not hard once you have the checklist, forms, and inventories to guide you. Save your family time and trouble in case of an emergency. Go to lifeinmotionguide.com/caregiving for a special offer.
Welcome back to the Happy Healthy Caregiver Podcast. Today's episode is a caregiver spotlight episode. I like to shine the spotlight on current and former family caregivers who have been in the trenches, because who better to tell us how we can find the resources and the helpful self-care practical tips than a caregiver themselves. Today's guest is Anne Campanella. She's a former magazine and newspaper editor and journalist, and she was a caregiver for her mom who had Alzheimer's disease. She wrote a caregiving memoir that was called one of the best Alzheimer's books of all times for 2 years in a row. The book is called Motherhood, Lost and Found. Anne is also a managing director of All's Authors, which is a nonprofit organization that represents over 250 books about Alzheimer's, dementia, and caregiving. In 2018, she was recognized by her hometown newspaper as one of the most influential women in the community for her work promoting Alzheimer's awareness. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. We talk not only about her caregiving experiences, which lasted way over a decade, but also while she was undergoing miscarriages, chronic miscarriages. And she also shares about how she was a caregiver for her daughter, who's now in college, but they discovered that she had an autoimmune disease, celiac, when she was 5 years old. We talk about self-care, of course, and of course we talk and learn about Anne when we go through the lightning round questions from the Just For You Daily Self-Care Journal. I hope you enjoy today's show. Hello, Anne. Welcome to the Happy Healthy Caregiver Podcast.
Hey, Elizabeth, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, I know you're talking from North Carolina. I'm from Georgia. We have a dreary cold day today. So hope everybody is just staying warm and staying safe out there. So we've met years ago, and I appreciate your patience, Anne, for getting you on the podcast. I only do them every other week, and I take that holiday season off. And it's been, it's a good thing, right? I have quite a list of people that I'm trying to get onto the Caregiver Spotlight episodes. And so it takes me a while to get through the list.
Not a problem. I always feel like, you know, things happen when they're meant to happen. So I'm Perfect. Happy to be here now.
Yay. Oh, thank you. Appreciate that about you. We kick off our podcast with some motivation, words of encouragement from the Happy Healthy Caregiver Jar. And so wanted to get your thoughts on what kind of self-care or motivational thing we've got served up today. It says, surround yourself with three types of people: the inspired, the excited, the grateful.
Wow. Well, I can give you examples of each. As a writer, I am so grateful to be surrounded by other writers who inspire me daily. I'm a member of multiple writing groups. Those folks are just, they feed my soul. The excited, that would be my husband. He is always, he just has an energy and an enthusiasm. He's like the optimistic guy to my realistic girl. What was the third one?
The grateful.
The grateful. Surround myself with grateful. I have a lot of folks who are grateful and remind me to be grateful in my church. We are members of a very small church, and it just is a great community. And just being a part of that community lifts my spirits and just reminds me that we're here for a greater purpose.
I like it. I love that you have examples of each of those. And when I think of this, I was, so we're recording this during Black History Month, and where I work, we have events that are going on in recognition of that. And they had a speaker on last week that said to surround yourself with your personal board of directors. And I love that, because these are the kinds of people, right? You want the inspired, the grateful, the excited people around you, because I think it was Jim Rohn or somebody said that you're basically the sum of the five people that you spend the most time with. So sometimes it's just a good checkpoint to say, and sometimes we can't completely control that, right? Especially as a caregiver. Yes. But then we've got to really make sure that those other people that we're picking have to overcompensate, maybe.
Definitely.
Thank you for that. Well, I wanted, you know, I've met you at the years ago at the National Caregiving Conference, and I've read your memoir, Motherhood Lost and Found, about not only about your journey with caring for your mom through Alzheimer's, but also your personal journey with, you know, your husband was traveling all the time. You had a series of miscarriages. And just take us back for a moment, if you will, and just give us a little bit of insight into your caregiving experience and what was going on at that time.
Sure. I was a very young caregiver and very much not prepared for that role. I was in my early 30s, when my husband and I moved from Houston back to North Carolina, where my parents were. And I was sort of in the stage of life where I thought, okay, I've been working really hard at my career. I'm going to keep doing that, but take a little bit of a break, have children, share them with my parents, just have this wonderful life. My husband was doing great in his job. And right at that same time, I had my first miscarriage, first of several, and my mom started showing signs of Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. And so I was just, the rug was pulled out from under me, and I had no idea that this was going to happen. I also, as you saw from the cover of the book, horses are the backdrop of the story. I had brought my horse home from Houston. We were building a barn. I had taught horseback riding lessons. I had this whole sort of life plan, things that I envisioned, and the horses did end up helping to carry me through a lot of the caregiving experience. Once I had my first miscarriage, I had several more, and my mom continued to go downhill. And I was just sort of on this slippery slope where I didn't know what was up. You know, when your mom just is suddenly not the same person that she was, and you're watching her lose her both emotional and mental and physical faculties sort of one by one. And your community is or my peers, I should say, have no idea what I'm going through. You know, I felt very alone. Mm. And so, you know, part of the reason I wanted to write the book was to share this story for others who might feel like they're alone as they go through this kind of sudden change.
Yeah, it's very, very vulnerable with all the things that you had going on and a lot of grief, right? Just heavy stuff on top of you at one time. And what helped you during that time just cope with the difficult days?
Well, the horses were both a plus and a minus. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I've got this thing going on in my phone.
You're good. I can't really hear it.
Oh, good.
It's probably bugging you more than it is.
Okay. Yes. Good. The horses helped me survive because I could go outside. I could be in nature. I'm an animal lover. And so just spending time with them will lift up my spirits. And on the days when things were really bad, I can remember just walking down to the barn and like laying my head against my horse's neck and just feeling him absorb the emotions that I had. I mean, it was like he took my grief, he took my sadness over the miscarriages, and he just carried it. At the same time, I could get on and ride and be physical and sort of leave the mental and emotional side behind. And that that physicalness of just being able to move was a real gift. It's like when you can have the wind in your hair and the sun on your shoulders, and you feel this the massive energy underneath and between your legs. It's just an incredible feeling, and I would forget what was going on. Mm-hmm. At the same time, taking care of horses is a lot of work.
Yeah.
And there were times that I was like, I don't want to be working this hard. I want to be able to just go home and sleep. And so that was a challenge. But there were other things that helped too. I mean, I mentioned my writing group before, or I had a couple of writing groups. And there was one group in particular that I met with weekly. And those women, they heard my story because I was writing about it as it was happening. And they just took it. And they showed me that there was value in it. And I thought, okay, I'm not alone in this. And some of the women were older than me. I was in my 30s at the time, which now I'm the age that they were. And they had just so much wisdom and kindness. And it helped me see that I was not in a situation that was going to continue forever, that this was just a stage of life. And they were so kind and sort of helping to carry me through that.
Well, in what wise wisdom that is, you know, sometimes, you know, first of all, your life plan, you had it all planned out, right? And didn't quite work out the way that you had anticipated. And looking back, like, do you think, you know, a higher power had a bigger plan for you, you know, plan in store for you?
I absolutely do. And in fact, I can remember when I had the message that I needed to write this book, I was standing at the barn. It was like a fall day and the wind was blowing. And I had been a newspaper and magazine editor. And I'd been writing everybody else's stories, and I just had this sudden sense that God was saying to me, this is your story to write, Anne. You know, you are in this, you're experiencing this, this will be a gift to somebody else. So, you know, put aside these other stories and write your own.
That was awesome. Yes. That's powerful. And how long did your caregiving years last, your caregiving season, if you will? How long did that last?
Quite a while. My mom she had Alzheimer's for 14 years. And I had my miscarriages went for a period of like 9 or 10 years. So it was a pretty dark decade. And honestly, without that higher power, without God really just being beside me the whole time and letting me know that there's a reason for these losses, I don't think I could have gotten through it.
What did you, and you've got some happy news as well, like the miscarriages didn't last forever.
Yes. And that is, I mean, I'm so blessed that my story did have this happy ending. My daughter Sydney was born before my mother passed away. She was born in 2001 and my mom passed away in 2007. So they had several years which were really sweet and bittersweet at the same time, because I was caring for my daughter and watching her grow and caring for my mom and seeing her decline. And I was doing a lot of the same things for both of them. You know, they both needed their fingernails trimmed. They both needed their diapers changed. They both needed to be fed. And interestingly, I was 40 years old at the time my daughter was born. My mom had been 40 when I was born. Mm. And so I was right in the middle of this age continuum where everything I was doing for my mom, I couldn't help but imagine that one day my daughter might be doing for me. So everything just reverberated on this emotional level.
Yes.
You know, powerfully and beautifully and sadly, and, you know, so many emotions.
It's such an emotional roller coaster, right? All of that, like, you know.
Yes.
And even in your dark decade, I'm sure there were, you know, a lot of things that you wouldn't go back and take a big eraser in a race, for sure.
Absolutely. In fact, I feel like the darkness just helped illuminate the light. I mean, it's just amazing how
I think
happens.
That's so true. Like, even, you know, even on your, you know, the craziest parts of my life too, it's, I think, you know, I remember we had an amazing trip before we were caring for my mom, and we had booked this trip to Italy for the four of us to go. There was like our big first vacation. And it was smack dab of like, my dad had just died in August and Jason's mom was like in end stages of lung cancer. And we had this like trip planned. Wow. And it was, like one of those weeks of lightness that you talk about. And she, you know, his mom, yes, gratefully, she hung on, and, you know, we did get to say goodbye to her when we get back, but there's, you know, there's all those things kind of going on, like what if this, what if that, but,
yes,
that still and sticks out as a big ray of light.
Oh, that's so neat. 'Cause there is something about when you're really feeling the grief, if you allow yourself to open up to that, you feel the joy just as deeply, and everything is just so intense. And it's just like, you're right, I would never give up, you know, any one moment of, because it was hard, but it was so beautiful too.
Yeah. It makes you who you are, for sure. What, do you find that you know, as a writer and as someone who's lived through this caregiving experience, and then, do you tend to lean into movies and books about Alzheimer's and dementia, or do you tend to kind of, I'm not interested?
I definitely lean into them. When I was going through the experience, I wanted to find everything that I could, would read anything, but I wanted personal stories. I was looking for memoirs because I wanted to know, has anybody gone through something like this, or even something similar? How did they survive? I was looking for clues mm-hmm. that, you know, how does somebody thrive? How does somebody, you know, make the most of a situation like this? And which really is part of what turned me towards All's Authors, mm-hmm. Because that we're a community that we have over 260 books and blogs about Alzheimer's and dementia. And to be able to provide that, when at the time that I was going through it, there were very few books mm-hmm. available. I mean, I would scour the internet and I'd find, you know, one or two, or somebody might recommend one and I'd find it. But now we just have dozens of memoirs. We have fiction, novels, poetry books, caregiving guides, you know, all kinds of stuff that is just, you know, ripe for the picking.
And what a gift for people that, you know, back to where you were, if you were to rewind to where you started and they land on All's Authors and there's a mecca of resources available there. That's amazing. So I agree. I was the same way. I tend to go to books and figure out, like, roll up my sleeves and, you know, and I didn't even call myself a caregiver. I just recognized as being in the sandwich generation. But there really right. wasn't anything. And, you know, I'm 6 years into it with Happy Healthy Caregiver this month.
Congratulations.
Yeah. It's been, a labor of love for sure. But something I can't not do. It's, you know how that is. So as the, you know, as a manager and a director of what's going on at All's Authors, what are you excited about right now?
Oh, goodness. Well, I have to say, I do believe that stories save lives. Mm-hmm. I know they have saved my life. I'm an English major, and books and writing feeds me, and reading inspirational stories, it takes you out of your day-to-day doldrums and reminds you that there is a bigger picture and that so much can happen. And with All's Authors, there's just constantly so much happening. We're on every social media. Marianne Shuko, one of our founders, has started a podcast, Untangling Alzheimer's and Dementia, which has just been so exciting to see that take off. We have traveling libraries that are grounded at the moment. That was something I was involved in starting. And that was so exciting because our authors donated books to us and we have taken them around to various Alzheimer's and dementia events so that caregivers can see what's available and they can touch and hold them and figure out what might be good for them. I know I'm forgetting things, but we have so much. Another thing, we have caregiving during COVID videos that we're nice. Posting once a week for people who are, you know, in the thick of it right now and don't have the support. You know, they can't get away or they are just stuck at home with their loved ones. And these are just short 1 minute videos that are meant to just give someone a little bit of a boost or encouragement.
Yes, I will.
Just a few of the things.
Yeah, of course. I will link to the podcast for sure. We're both part of the Whole Care Network. So,
oh, yes.
And wonderful. I've had Marianne yes. on the show, Jean Lee, probably have had a few other yes. All's Authors on the show, but I'll also link to their podcast if people want to go back and listen. Sounds like you're a big reader. I'm a big reader. So I just have to ask, are yes. there any books that, you know, you would recommend? Would, you know, fiction, escape, nonfiction, that just stick with you over time?
Oh my goodness. One book just pops in my head. It's Green Vanilla Tea. It's an author who's in Australia and her book, just page by page, I just wanted to just sink into it because the language is beautiful. And her husband, I believe he had frontotemporal dementia. Yes. Mm-hmm. And died very young. And she had two boys that she was raising. And she talked about seeing the beauty of life. She just saw it so well. And I always encourage people to read you know, any of the All's Authors books. Mm-hmm. They go through a process of selection. So we're very careful to choose books that we think would be beneficial for others. I'm also a poet. And there's several poetry books on the website that I love.
Nice. Yes. I sometimes forget what I've already read. So I keep all track of my stuff on Goodreads, but I don't know if you're out there, but I would love to just kind of follow if anyone's interested. Yeah. Follow me on Goodreads. I'll link to that. And I love to see what people are reading.
Yes, I am on Goodreads. I don't keep up with it as well as I should, but
I think I was motivated to do it by, I picked up a book and about, you know, 50, 75 pages. I'm like, I think I read this already. So that was kind of the, yes. The moment for me where I was like, I gotta do something different. Your caregiving world kind of, you know, you had your daughter, Sydney, and then you realized she also had some health things going on. And you really ended up becoming like a caregiver of someone with an autoimmune disease.
Yes. And that was, again, another total surprise. I realize now that very possibly Alzheimer's and celiac disease, which is what my daughter had, could be connected because of the autoimmune. My daughter was 5 years old when we discovered that she had celiac disease. She wasn't sleeping. She wasn't growing properly. She had terrible stomach aches. Celiac disease, for those who don't know, is an autoimmune disease where the body reacts to gluten and causes a whole host of issues. And so that was my next memoir that I wrote about.
What's that one called? Your memoir?
Celiac Mom.
Don't overthink it. That's what you, celiac mom. Well, and yes. I know many people, right? This is a common, fairly common, right? Autoimmune disease. We have autoimmune disease in my family. My sister has vitiligo. My dad and my brother have psoriasis. So different, not food related, but different autoimmune diseases. Right. But to find out at five years old, is young compared to most people I know have gone years and years before they've figured that out.
Yes. In fact, I read somewhere the average time is 11 years to discover that you have celiac disease. And I know there's so many other autoimmune diseases that because they're just so complicated and trying to figure out, tease out, you know, what is this? Why is that happening? Although 5 years, I have to say, I didn't sleep well for 5 years. My daughter did not sleep through the night until the first day that she had wheat taken out of her diet. And that night she slept. And I, of course, didn't because I kept expecting her to wake up and cry. And it was like, oh my gosh, we could have a new life now. And even though it was such a hard challenge and transition to my husband and I decided to go wheat free also, but to take gluten out of our lives. I mean, that is just an enormous thing. And I was known in my younger years as the cookie monster because I just love cookies and sweets and things like that. And so, you know, my life just had to do an entire, you know, 180. And it may have been harder for me because I was used to all these foods than it was for my daughter. But it was quite a challenge. And my daughter is now in college. Mm-hmm. So she has made it through. So for anyone who is, you know, just facing something like that, it is very possible to get through. And it's a step-by-step process.
Are there some things that that would be hard? Like I think about trying to be gluten-free right now and I'm like, ooh, there's definitely some things that would be tough to pick up. And I did check out your Instagram page. Remind me what your account is.
Gluten-free for good.
Gluten-free for good. And I see that one of your kind of go-to places for eating out is Mellow Mushroom. It must have a good gluten-free pizza.
They have fantastic gluten-free pizza. And so many places you can't necessarily trust. They might say they're gluten-friendly, which is fine for someone like me because I'm gluten intolerant. But if you have celiac disease and you're very sensitive, like my daughter, she can get the tiniest crumb and she would be sick for hours throwing up and just in terrible pains. So we love Mellow Mushroom.
Are there any other places that, you know, if someone's struggling with where to go, you mean, you've obviously learned a lot from raising her from five to college and read the memoir, of course. And
Sure, I do have a list of places in the back of the book. But just off the top of my head, Chick-fil-A has some food that is gluten-free and they've been safe for us. Rick's Pizza also has gluten-free pizza. My daughter loves Chipotle. Goodness, there's a wonderful gluten-free, bakery down in Hilton Head called the G-Free Spot. So if anybody's vacationing, that is just, it's an amazing place where you can actually go in and see hordes of desserts that you normally can't eat.
That feeds your cookie monster self.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, all of that stuff, you kind of like, you try it on, same with in caregiving and figure out what works and make little tweaks on things. So thank you for sharing some of those. I'm sure there are many people out there that they're wondering if this is something that might be an issue that they look into. I'm also interested in just kind of, you've done some research on the autoimmune disease and Alzheimer's. Like, do you think that your mom, or do you think that she had this, or?
I do. And as you know, a lot of people with dementia or Alzheimer's have diabetes. I think there's a connection between diabetes, Alzheimer's, and celiac disease. And it's just beginning to be studied a little bit. I think my mom was either gluten intolerant or had celiac, but had eaten wheat all her life. So she was just used to feeling a little bit bad and a little bit down, and kind of her body just dealt with it. But she also developed diabetes in her 70s. And that's about the time that she developed Alzheimer's. So I just think all those autoimmune things are definitely interrelated. It's kind of,
it's interesting. And then I was listening to somebody's podcast about sleep, you know, also maybe being a factor, not getting quality sleep. But yes. I mean, all of these things, whether they're a factor for Alzheimer's or not, they're just still good ideas, right? Like,
Right.
Interesting. Yes. People, I'll link to your, the Celiac Mom, memoir, which is out, you said, right? It's launched already. Yes. Okay. And then your different accounts. You. Yeah, of course. I'm ready to hit the lightning round if you are. So I don't know if you know about this, but this is, I just pick out some questions, some self-care prompts, because, you know, we always try to sprinkle in some of that. You mentioned how, you know, the horses saved your life, stories have saved your life. Yes. I mean, I put all of that into the self-care category, like anything, right, that's helping you energize, feel better mentally, physically. It's not all about a girl's night out and a mani and a pedi. Like, right. They could be little 10 minute reprieves in your day.
Yes. Oh, I do have one thing I wanted to share, because people often say, go to a support group. And I tried that, going to an Alzheimer's support group, because so many people suggested it. And for me, because I was in my 30s and most of the other people were 60s, 70s, 80s, taking care of maybe spouses or other people, I couldn't find people who I related to, but I realized my support group really was my writing group, because they were the people who knew me and loved me and valued what I was doing. And so I got the support. It just came in a different form.
Yeah.
So I guess I would encourage people to don't feel like you have to find the support where people expect you to, you know, but be open to where it might come.
That's so good. I have never been a part of a writing group, but I'm intrigued by that. So if someone's got a writing group in Atlanta, I would love to hear more about that. And then, although I'm sure people are doing them virtually now too, but to your point, yes. Like my book club, we mostly in my neighborhood, we have been meeting for years, I don't know, 12, 15 years. And they were my sanity savers. I mean, so many times where, you know, we'd read the book, you know, and sometimes I was, you know, reading the books and it would be a great escape for me, but there was always a little bit of Elizabeth time in some of those heavy, heavy years. And I know they finally pushed me like, you got to get more help. So wherever you find it, whether it's your faith community, you know, a caregiver support group, your writing group, your, you know, a trusted friend, you know, that you can go and have lunch with, those are all good ideas. You know, now that you're on the other side of caregiving, like, is there what brings back the wonderful memories about your mom?
Well, you know, interestingly, she was a writer also. So when I write, I feel really close to her, and it just brings me this joy because I used to share, you know, all my poems and essays and anything that I wrote with her. And she would just be delighted. She loved hearing it. And, you know, we were both word people. And so just a turn of phrase or a description of something would just make her so happy. And so knowing that I'm sort of dabbling in that constantly, I just feel her presence around me. And that just makes me just so happy.
Yeah. It's my mom was a writer as well. She wrote a series of books about raccoons. Like, my mom lost her first husband and she had four kids under 10 years old. And she was trying to figure out a way to explain death and dying to them. And so she started this series of books about a raccoon family based on the lake that we go to in Michigan. And my mom spent her final years on that lake. Yeah. So, but like you, Anne, mom was very encouraging of my writing and story sharing. And I've got, you know, I guess I'm the one that's carrying that writing torch on in my family. My older sister's an artist, so she's got a different kind of a creative outlet. And we all kind of have our different, you know, of the six of us, we all have our different things. And then I was thinking, like, today, every now and then this is Emerald, so my mom had like 2 cents. She would wear Chanel No. 5 when she was like all gussied up, ready to go out. And then Emerald was like her, you know, low cost, scent.
Yes.
I'm not a perfume wearer, but I keep this. And like, when I just need a little dose of mom, I just can, and it brings like, feel like I'm kind of, you know, got my arms around her and hugging her. So that's very so sweet.
My mom loved Avon and she had pearls and lace powder. And I have some pearls and lace powder just, and every time I smell it, same.
Yeah. Thing. It brings you back. Right. And then I'm like looking around, like, you know, I've got grandma's ring on. This is, you know, my grandma. So like things like that, I think it's good to have like little tokens, little scents, little things that can kind of bring them back.
Yes.
So with your gluten-free, this is a good question. What's your go-to healthy lunch?
Oh, wow. It's funny. I am not very creative when it comes to food or cooking. I just don't do much cooking. But once a week, usually, I'll cook up a batch of chicken and I steam broccoli. So my go-to lunch is broccoli and chicken and maybe a piece of low-carb bread. And then for my treat, because I have to have a treat, I've discovered these wonderful, they're good fats bars, and they're high fat, but low carb, and they don't raise my blood sugar. So that's what I eat.
Do they have different flavors of bars?
They do.
What's your flavor?
My favorite is the chocolate chip, and they're covered in chocolate.
Yeah.
So it's like a chocolate cookie. Yeah.
Oh, I'll have to check that out. So I know you've been married a while. My husband and I are coming up on our 25th wedding anniversary here shortly too, but How do you keep the romance alive in your relationship, Anne?
Well, the thing that probably makes my husband happiest, and I do not do it enough, is if I am willing to go out on the golf course with him. He bought me a set of golf clubs. We used to play back when we were first married, like 9 holes after work once a week. And then that sort of gradually dropped off. And it's probably been years since we've done it. But every now and then I will show up at the golf course and he'll just be so happy. So
yeah.
That makes him happy.
I've done that a couple times. 9 holes is about my max, though. The 18 is just like, it feels a little torturous. Yeah, I'm good with nine. Yes. But if it's a beautiful day, it is a great day to kind of just like get out and spend time together. That's wonderful. We had discovered, he had turned 50 last fall. And so I was, racking my brain trying to figure out a gift for him. And I stumbled on one of these like date boxes called Happily. Uh-huh. I think it's called Happily. But we did our first date box this past weekend because they'd kind of stockpiled, frankly, during the holiday months. And so we made ice cream was part of it. And they had like a little salsa dance lesson. You listen to a Spotify playlist. They had a little conversation starters and a little game. And it was cute. It was just, sometimes you just have to kind of shake it up a little bit. So
right.
I'll post to that in the notes too. But what last question, Anne, is what are you planning to do for fun this coming weekend?
This coming weekend, huh? Fun, all right.
And everyone's version of fun is a little bit different. So it's fun to you.
Yes. I'm trying to, fun to me is always, I take a walk every day. So that's part of my fun. If I can get myself, if my daughter comes home, we always have fun. Mm-hmm. She's all about having fun and she sort of gets me out of my routine. I don't think she's coming home this weekend though. But I would say my fun, and this is probably boring to many people, but it's journaling. If I have the opportunity to just, write about whatever in my journal and then to read a good book. I mean, that's always fun for me.
Yeah. Those are some of mine too. Reading with a good cup of coffee on a weekend morning with my dogs and my husband, he might be piddling around playing possum. We call it in my family. If you're kind of not moving and just kind of hanging out. We call that playing possum. But if we're all just playing possum on a Saturday or Sunday morning and I'm sipping on my coffee, that's fun. Cause we have to get up and move and during the week. And so sometimes just to scale it back a little bit on the weekends and figure out how you can carve out some time for yourself. So
yes, nothing better, especially when the fire's going and it's cold out, to have a warm drink and something good to read.
Yes, exactly. I've enjoyed this time with you, Anne. Is there anything that you wish that we would have spoken about that, anything else that you want to share or just talk about?
I think you've covered everything. I have to say, I do love your podcast because you just, you make me happy when I listen to it. And I feel like as caregivers, that's what we need. We need the inspiration and the joy and just a sort of change of pace. And so you really have a gift for that, Elizabeth. And I just thank you for bringing that out into the world.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I might play that back when I need to hear it. Please
do.
I appreciate that. And how can people find, if they're going to one place and to see your memoirs and to figure out where you're connected, where would be the best place for people to go?
Probably the easiest place is my website, which is annecampanella.com. My books are also on All's Authors, which is allsauthors.com. You can find me on Instagram.
Yep.
Or Facebook, link to the all the different social medias. I'm there somewhere.
I know. So, I'm on them, but not on them as much as I used to be. I find that I find get on, check my notifications, look at a couple things and get off. I just, I think with working full time and everything being virtual, it's like it's too many screens for me lately.
So. Yes. Same here. I feel the same way. I just can't do it as much.
But. Yeah. So we just get outside more and soak it all in. Thank you, Anne. And I will link to everything so that people can find out about you. But I appreciate you so much coming on today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Elizabeth. This was fun.
Thanks for joining us today on the Happy Healthy Caregiver podcast on the Whole Care Network. As always, show notes that accompany today's episode can be found on my website, happyhealthycaregiver.com. Just look under the podcast menu for today's episode image, and that will take you to the page with the links and information we spoke about today. You'll also find other resources on the website, along with links to purchase the Just For You Daily Self-Care Journal. When you purchase from my website, you'll get a signed copy and for a limited time, free shipping. If you've enjoyed what you heard today, consider subscribing to the show on your podcast platform. It really helps other family caregivers find the podcast, and you'll automatically receive our bi-weekly shows in your podcast listening queue. Maybe while you're subscribing, consider leaving a 5-star rating and review, or just simply talk it up on your social channels. Let's stay connected. I'm on Instagram and Facebook as Happy Healthy Caregiver. And until we meet again, please take care of you.
Thanks for listening to Happy Healthy Caregiver on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. Next week, we'll be featuring another episode from Marianne Securo from All's Authors. Keep it right here on UK Health Radio as our next show is coming right up.